For the trees, But in the days to come, we're going to see clearly the things of God. We're going to see them more clearly. We're not going to just take things at their first sight or first worth. We're going to see through to the other side, to what's really going on, to what's really happening. And God will know how to pray and how to line our prayers up with your word. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes! Come on, celebrate! Just like you just... Oh, thank you, Jesus. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
We praise you, Lord God. We'll not quench your spirit. We worship you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Praise God. Amen. Whew. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. We're going to receive the offering at this time. We're shifting gears real fast here. Wow. Wow. Hallelujah. Worship is a very, very powerful thing, but tithes and offerings is very powerful as well. Right?
Amen. Explain
it
to us. We worship Him.
Amen.
We worship Him with our tithes and our offerings. He says in His Word, He gives seeds to the sower. So when He gives us those seeds, we're going to sow them, and this is good ground, real good ground. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine this week, and she lost both parents within a year. And they were in the process of getting their house ready and the property ready to sell her parents' property. And she said, I've cried and cried and cried. And the Lord gave me a word for her, and it was, this is a season, but this too will pass. And I feel like the Lord said to the church this morning, I want to encourage you that everybody's going through some kind of season. It might be a bad report you've received. It might be sickness. It might be poverty and lack. But everybody's going through a season. But you know what? That song said, He turns and makes the seasons change. And you know what? We have His Word to cause the seasons to change in our lives. If you don't like the season you're in, then you find you a promise and speak to that season and command it to change to the season you need or want. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you could ever even ask or think. We speak to defeat. It has no place over us. Sickness, disease, and infirmity and bad reports have no place over us. That season has to bow and go. Poverty and lack, deadness, that season's got to bow. It's a name, and it has no authority in our lives. We speak to the season, and God will cause it to change because He honors His Word. He's a God that He cannot lie. He's a mighty God, and He wants you to walk in health and prosper in Jesus' name. Lord God, we love You today. Thank You, thank You, thank You for the seed You give me to sow. It's with honor. It's with honor I give it. I give it to You. It's Yours to begin with. And I thank You, Lord God, for the seed that's sown this morning. You'll multiply it back 100-fold. Lord, it'll come quickly, quickly, quickly and suddenly. We just thank You, Father, for increase on this congregation. There's people in here that need raises. There's people in here that need jobs. They need increase, Lord. They need healing. They need wholeness. And I thank You, Lord God, the anointing destroys every yoke. And I thank You, Father, that we are healed, whole, well, prosperous. Blessings are on this tithe and this offering this morning. In Jesus' name, come and give in faith.
I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah. I raise a hallelujah.
I said, tell somebody Jesus is alive today. Amen? Very good. Give yourself a hand clap. Hallelujah. Let's say thanksgiving to our praise team. What a great job. Amen, amen. Y'all are the best. Glory to God. There is warfare in worship, people. We've known it all along, but it's coming to the forefront. God is doing something in praise and worship where people will praise and worship. And the Bible says he inhabits the praises of his people. We've known that forever. But sometimes we forget. Sometimes we come to church and it gets to be a familiar routine. Doesn't happen here very often, but it does. It could. But we want to stay fresh and on point with God and the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us also, do not quench the Holy Spirit. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. God is so very good. Amen? I want to talk to you today about your destiny, your destination. But that's a long subject, so we're probably not going to get very far on your trip. But anyway, the thing is, you need to know where you're going. You need to know where you are, and you need to know where you're going. And you need to figure out how to get there. Right? So God has a GPS for you, and it's his Spirit, and it's his Word. He is our shepherd, and we shall not want. He leads us, right? As I said out loud, Jesus leads me, and I follow. I follow. I follow. Just like sheep, we are to follow his Word, follow his Spirit, and follow the leading of the Holy Ghost. And it'll lead us where? Into pain and destruction? No. Green pastures. Calm waters. We'll never want for a thing. That's what he said in Psalms 23. You've been reading it your whole life. Why don't we try to believe it? Thank you for that. Amen. The sooner you say amen, the sooner we get out. You said that before. Amen. Glory to God. But our destiny. The thing is that we need to understand. You don't have to be the minister. You can. Every believer, God has a destination for you. There's a journey set before you. The Bible says that the steps of a righteous man are ordered. Jeremiah, very familiar scripture, 29 says, God says, I hadn't forgotten my plan for you. It's a good plan. It's a good plan, and I fully expect it to work out the way I want it to. That's what God's attitude is about it. But you and I have a tendency sometimes to take an exit. Right? Like I said, soon you say amen, boy, that's going to be a long sermon where y'all going right now. Sometimes along the way we take an exit, get on the wrong route. That's okay. Get right back on, right? Amen. Sometimes I just go in circles up. Y'all don't feel like that? Yeah. Life gets like that. We've been singing about that all morning, that God is the answer. There's power in his presence. He's our all in all and our everything. Why shouldn't he have a destination for you? There are so many people sitting in churches this morning, so many believers that do not understand that they have a destiny. God just didn't die and rise again just so you could be saved and have nothing to do. There is something for all of us to do. We've all called into the body of Christ. Every joint supplies the other joint. There's something to do. Look at your neighbor and say, you're important to me. Yeah, we're important to each other. And then this church is a local church, but the church is universal. There's a big world out there. I get focused on Jimmy a lot. What about y'all? Y'all don't get focused on me. I get focused on y'all. It's a big world out there. I had the pleasure this past week, as we were in Texarkana, to speak through talking to a computer, going to New York City, going to Africa, and reaching 100 million people. Give the Lord a hand clap. Only God can figure that out. But you see, that's what the church is changing so fast. Technology is changing. We can reach the world via satellite, internet, like that. And soon and very soon, there will be a simultaneous broadcast from several networks. And I'm prophesying this. That's going to come together and reach the whole world at one time. I'm not saying it'll be like that every day, but they're going to come together and they're going, whoever's going to be speaking, singing, whatever, is going to reach the whole world at one time. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? It's beyond me to understand that, but I don't have to figure it out. I just get to do it, don't y'all? Amen. So the other day, as I was speaking to the masses, as they say, you were there too. Faith Outreach went. Isn't that cool to know that when you get to heaven, you can meet somebody in Africa or Europe somewhere? They heard the word. And they listened to the word. They received the word. Were born again. And heaven is their destination. Let's say it out loud. Heaven is our destination. That's our ultimate goal. But God has things for us to do while we're down here. Correct?
Right.
All right. Let's go in our Bibles to John chapter 4. And I'll paraphrase this till we get to a certain scripture over here. And let's begin with verse 7. If you put verse 7 up there, Cameron, I'll catch everybody up. Jesus said to his disciples, I need to go through Samaria on the way home. Well, Samaria is not good territory. It's dangerous there. They're not believers there. They don't believe like in Jesus. All right? We'll just say it simply like that. But Jesus said, I need to go there. One day, Jesus said, I need to go to Nelson, Mississippi on March 11, 1976, between the hours of 7 and 8 o'clock, because Jimmy Bryan's going to be there. That's me. Oh, you think that can't happen? Happens all the time.
Right.
Jesus is here today because you're here. He has an appointment with you. It may not be your first appointment. It may not be your last appointment. But it is an appointment. We need to understand how the importance and the power of God being, you being in God's presence. He's only a whisper away. He's only a cry of faith away. He's only the mention of his name, and he's there. Anytime. He's always ready. But on that night, for me, he showed up at church. Because he had been dealing with me for a while. And that night, he put the right words in the minister's mouth, and I had already made a decision. Before this week's over, I said it like this, Jesus, if you're real, I'm giving you a chance to prove it. Because I'm just going to lay it all out. Guess what happened? I did. But my plan didn't come out just like I wanted it to, Barry. I had it all figured out in our church. I was going to sit up close in the front row. We had a big crowd. Church was packed. I was going to get there early, get close to the altar. And then when they gave the altar call, I was going to sneak in and sneak back to my seat. Come on, guys. Somebody here is just like that. Because we have the word. I'll spell it for you. P-R-I-D-E. Pride. They would say pride. Let me clue you in. God hates that. So what did he do? He'll rearrange my schedule. He'll do it, won't he, Jerry? Because he's got a plan. Well, I had to work late that night. And I show up, I have to sit in the back in a straight chair. Sort of like Mike and Virgil are doing back there today. In a minute, boys, I give an invitation. Y'all better come on. Anyway, I get there late. I said, man, my plan is not working out. And this is the last night. I'm in the corner. I put myself in a box and I can't wiggle out. So, last song, last stanza. This is a hymnal song. I don't remember what it was, but I do remember. Now, that was 1976. I remember the shoes I had on and the pants, because that's all I'm looking at. And I'm doing this, rocking back and forth. And we're getting down to the end. And Jesus is saying, hey, it's time. And you've heard this before. It may have happened to you. But I took that one step. Now, from where I'm standing, our church was not, Nancy, you know, it's not real long. It's probably from here to that step back there to the altar. It looked like 100 miles. Because everybody's there to see Jimmy Bryan make this big decision, which they weren't. I thought they were. The devil was telling me that, so I wouldn't go. So anyway, I'm rocking back and forth. That says 1976. Can you imagine the shoes I had on in 1976? No wonder they're unforgettable. And the bell bottoms I had on, unforgettable. Well, I don't remember the shirt. Thank God for it. But anyway, I took that one step. Next thing I know, I'm at the altar. And that's where I met the man called Jesus, the man from Galilee, the man that gives peace. And there were 81 commitments made that week. That night the altar was full again, and I'm over here by slinging snot and crying and carrying on, which that's good. I don't believe in having emotions in church. Well, you're going to have a bad time in heaven, buddy. It's going to be very boring. Because there's going to be some shouting going up there. All these songs are saying about he's worthy of it all. When we get to heaven, that's what we're going to be singing. Because he is the Lamb of God who was worthy of our praise. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I don't believe in that raising hands and getting emotional stuff. That's all in the flesh. Well, you know, I very seldom go anywhere without my flesh. Amen? Lots of times it leads me. It leads me to the refrigerator at about 10 o'clock every night. Amen? It leads me to watch the ball game. It leads me to do a lot of things except mow the yard. And that's a critical decision right there, but that's crucifying the flesh, to mow the yard. Carry out the garbage. Do what the wife wants you to do. You have to crucify that flesh. Hallelujah. Don't she know this mystery's about over right in the middle of it? Who done it? And she wants me to go get her something. Cranks up that vacuum cleaner right in the middle of the most important time of the movie. It's incredible how that happens. The devil's in that vacuum cleaner, not her. I sneaked out of that one, Jeff. I came out of that smooth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But we're talking about a destination. And here in John, Jesus goes through Samaria. It's dangerous. And Jesus got tired on the earth, y'all. He's all man, but he's all God, too. So he's going along here, and it's hot out there. Everybody say it's been hot here lately.
It's been hot.
Well, can you imagine, have you ever been to Israel? Can you imagine walking through that desert? It's hot. So he gets to the well, Jacob's well, that he gave to his son Joseph. We talked about wells not long ago. Buddy, those wells are something. Anyway, he sits down on the well, tells the guys, go to town, get something to eat. And he's sitting there. Here comes a woman with a big clay pot to draw water for her family at home. Right? You've heard this before. But Jesus had a destiny for this woman. And today was her day. When he came to Samaria, he knew where to go. He went to the well that she used, And it, if you'll remember, it was at noon, the sixth hour. Women at that time, you can study it out. Women, y'all are smart. Y'all better wake up. That's the last time, last opportunity you're going to get. Women, you're smart. You go to the well early in the morning when it's cool. Water pots are heavy. It's strenuous work. But he's sitting there at noonday. Here comes this woman. Don't tell me. Do not disqualify yourself from God's love. Whatever you've done, he knows about it, and he loves you. He's sitting there on this well and waiting for her to come. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me to drink." Let's go to verse 8 quickly. "For his disciples were gone away to the city to buy food." 9. "Then saith the woman of Samaria to him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, ask water of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." Pretty plain and simple. "Jesus answered and said unto her, If you knew the gift of God." That's a pretty bold statement. This is a stranger. He never met this one before. "Who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wast asked of him, and he would give you living water. What if I said to you today, Jesus can give you living water? You won't have to go to a physical well every day. Fill your belly. Get your cheeseburger and a coat. You don't have to do that every day. God's going to put something in you that's everlasting. Your spirit is a living fountain springing up to every eternal life. Glory to God. A destiny is before you. Today is your day. You would ask of him, if you knew who you were talking to, you would ask him to give you some living water. 11. The woman said to him, Sir, you don't have anything to draw with. You don't have a bucket. And the well's deep. You don't have a bucket nor a rope. From whence then hast thou, don't you love King James? It's a tongue tangler upper. Whence thou hast that living water. Where's the living water? 12. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well and drank there of himself and his children and his cattle? 13. Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. She goes every day to get water. Don't you know she gets tired? Does that sound like your life? Every day you're doing the same thing. Every day you're doing the same thing. Every day you're doing the same thing. I'm so tired of this. The wife said, I'm so tired of cooking dinner except at my house. I'm so tired of cooking all the time. I better slack up. I'm getting in big trouble. Only Jesus could get me out of it. That I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Verse 15. The woman said to him, Sir, give me this water that I may thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Boy, it sounded good, didn't it? That's what the gospel is, good news. And when you hear the true gospel, it's not a gospel that condemns you and beats you up and tells you how sorry you were. You knew that before you got to church. The gospel is this. If it's not a gospel of righteousness, it's not the gospel. If I had a choir robe on, I'd kick it out right there. Good news. It's the goodness of God that draws men to repentance, not the bad. I knew I was doing bad, didn't you? Come on, let's be honest. Jesus knows, right? Sure. It's the goodness of God. Okay. She said, I want some of this water. Let's say it out loud. Jesus, I want some of your water. All right. Okay. Let's go on to 16. And we're going to pause right here. In John 7, verse 37, on that, now he's talking to a heathen woman. He's talking to a Samaritan. Jews don't like Samaritans. Samaritans don't like Jews. But he had a destiny for this woman. She had a destiny for Jesus. And they met that day at this well because she went there and Jesus knew she was coming. And he showed up. He'll show up in your life too.
Amen.
Probably already has, but he'll keep showing up when we need him all the time. John 7:37, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, or made it with a loud voice, said, "If any man thirst," this woman's thirsty. She had no covenant with God. He had no reason to do this. Hear me out, you theologians. He has no obligation to do this whatsoever. This is the Old Testament. Dealing, you know, in that time. No obligation. He didn't have any with you or me either. I was a sinner, yet he came. Because somebody was praying, asking him to do it, and he did it. "If any man thirst, come to me and drink, and I will give you living water." Same thing he told her in chapter 4. In chapter 7, he's telling it to his brethren. This is a feast day in Jerusalem. And buddy, all the dignified people are there, and they had all the best donkeys in town were there. All the Cadillacs and Mercedes-Benz were parked out there. Glory to God. And Jesus, they're going through their religious routine, and Jesus said, "If you're thirsty, come to me and I'll give you living water." Same message. Same result for everybody that will respond to his voice. Ask yourself this question today. Will I, have I, will I always respond to the voice of God? Sometimes he might speak through a song. He may speak through a child. He may speak to an old preacher like me. Jesus said now, back in chapter 4, he tells her that this is going to be the big deal here now. Because he'll always find your faith. Jesus is not going to trick you. He said, "Go tell your husband. Go call him to come here." Verse 17. The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said, "You well said, you have no husband." Verse 18. "For you have had 5 husbands. He whom thou hast now is not your husband." Did I say that right? The woman said to him, "Sir," and this is what's happening in the church today, has happened for a long, long time, and it's going to get more and more and more as the day gets close. "Sir, I perceive that you're a prophet." You're going to see the spirituals. You're going to see the gifts of the Spirit. You're going to see whoever's under the anointing or behind the or preaching or sharing through the gifts of the Spirit, whatever, it's going to get so powerful. "I perceive that you're a prophet because you told me something that only, you shouldn't know this, but you told me." I'm just shocked, y'all. Jesus said, "Well, you're disqualified. You had 5 husbands and you're living with a guy now. You're shacked up." He didn't say anything about that. He said, "Go get your husband come." He's wanting her to receive what he has. And this is key now. If you've never been here and you're wondering why you can't flow with the Spirit or get him with God, you've got to be honest. Amen. That night when I went to the altar, I'd played the game. I was trying to clean the fish before I got saved. I was trying to do good when I couldn't do good. Trying to be religious. Saying the right things. Been to the right places. Looking right. Even going to Sunday school. Looking good. But it didn't work, did it? But I got honest that week. I said, "God, if you're real, I'm going to surrender it all to you." Well, he did and I did. Verse 20, please, quick. "Our fathers worship in this mountain, you say," he's talking to the woman, "that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship." Talking about, let's say worship.
Worship.
Okay, so that's what, you're going to have to worship God. You're going to have to worship God. You got to bow. You got to get off the throne of your life. And you're going to have to worship God. Right? You can't make it there. You can't get into it without saying, "You're God, and I worship you, I love you, and I thank you." Verse 21. Jesus said unto her, "Woman, believe me, the hour comes when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet even at Jerusalem worship the Father." Are we in that day today? We don't have to go to Jerusalem every Sunday. He's here. He has met you this morning. Right here, Faith Outreach, with an assignment, through a word of knowledge, what I got to today. Through all the things that were happening here, Ronnie got healed today. All the things that are happening here today, a lot of things are going to happen. Oh, goodness, good gracious. Hallelujah, glory to God. God's good, isn't he? You know what happened? The destiny of that woman changed. The destiny of that city changed because she went back and told everybody. So I'm going to ask you to stand right now, and I'm going to dismiss you to go and tell everybody you know that God is good and he loves you. And whatever you've done, he said, his blood is already paid for it. All you have to do is believe in him and have everlasting life. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you honor, praise, and glory. Lord, such a time as this, every day, you have your presence with us. You are a shepherd. You lead us and you guide us. And when we go through tough times like the valley of the shadow of death, you'll never leave us. You're with us. And you get us to safety. You are our supreme provider, Lord Jesus. I set my GPS today. My location is Oklahoma, Mississippi. My destination is heaven. And it's going to be a good ride. God will see me through. In Jesus' name. Everybody, just if you have not received Jesus Christ, now be a good time to say, "Yes, Lord, come into my life. I want to make you my Lord forever. I want to set my GPS. I want to make it to heaven." He'll do it for you right now. If you just say yes to him. If you believe he's been raised from the dead. And you say with your mouth that Jesus is my Lord now. Vacate your throne and allow Jesus to sit there. And your life will be much better. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. All right. Tell somebody love.